Bringing us our message this morning is Jermaine Usry. God bless you, Jermaine. Jermaine is a senior theology major at La Sierra University on a path to becoming a professor of New Testament studies, and she's working with us this entire year as our youth leader, and she's been such a blessing to us so far over the summer. And we're very, very happy to have you here this morning. Jermaine, God bless you, and God bless you as you bring God's message to us today.
Let's pray before we start. Dear loving God, I want to thank you for giving me the chance to share some lessons that you have taught me in my own journey with you. And I want to pray that you will speak through me, maybe your words, not mine. And also I want to pray that you will open our hearts and minds to you and your word to be able to learn something you want to teach us today. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, so for those of you who do not know a lot about me, I know most of the youth do know a lot about me because we talked a lot, but I'm going to give you a little background about myself and where I come from, where I spent my childhood and teenage years. I was born and raised in Cairo, Egypt, in an Seventh-day Adventist / Coptic Orthodox family. So my dad and his side of the family were all Seventh-day Adventists, but my mom's side of the family were all Coptic Orthodox. Only my mom was the Seventh-day Adventist. So I grew up in both churches. I went to a private school, a Muslim private school, from K all the way to 8th grade. And then when it came time for high school, I actually went to the Adventist Academy. And as you guys can see, it's Nile Union Academy. And it's the only Seventh-day Adventist Academy in Egypt. So I went there for high school. And actually, this academy is taught by missionaries. So we have long-term missionaries who come for, it's mostly like families that come. It's mostly families that come for 2 years or longer. And we have short-term missionaries that come. They're student missionaries that come for just 1 year. So they serve for 1 year, and then they leave. And my years at the academy, this academy, were very valuable to me because it was there that I really got to meet Jesus. With the help of the missionaries, I got to know him as a personal savior, and it was there actually that I decided to be baptized and be part of the church. And this time I didn't choose to be part of the church just because my parents were Seventh-day Adventists, but it was because I chose to be part of the church. So I graduated from the school, and then I went to La Sierra. I attended La Sierra University fall of 2008. Spent there my freshman year and sophomore year. And at the end of my sophomore year, I decided to be a student missionary. So I applied to different places, and after a lot of prayer, I got accepted to go to Maxwell Adventist Academy in Kenya, Nairobi, Kenya, as the math/Bible teacher there. It was great. The whole trip going there was good, beautiful, and great seeing God's leading all the way through. But when I got there, it was a little different because the school is, yes, it is in the mission field, but it's kind of different. It's kind of, almost all the students we have were well-to-do students. They came from good families. We had great food. We had electricity, hot water, and we had pretty much everything we needed. It wasn't really what I expected it to be. They even had trips, like different trips throughout the year. And there are two big trips that the school does. One of them goes to the Masai Mara. This is a safari that you go and see different kinds of animals, and it was really beautiful. And the other trip, it's towards the end of the school year. It's a bigger one, and it goes to hike up Mount Kenya. So I went on the first one. I went on the Masai Mara one. And then I was so excited. I could not wait to hike up Mount Kenya. I went, they have like prep hikes to see, to make sure you're in shape to be able like to hike up the mountain because it's 17,000 feet high, so it's not a joke. You have to really be in shape. So I went in all the prep hikes. I made sure I was in shape. I was ready to hike up that mountain. But then 1 week before the trip, I noticed that one of my friends, she's from Kiev, from Ukraine, that she was not going on the trip. And I was like, really? You're going to give up that chance? You're not going? And she's like, no, I'm not going. Because the trip is even long. We get off Wednesday of school, and then it's all the way till next Wednesday. So it's like a whole week of break to hike up that mountain. So I asked her, what are you going to do for this whole week? And then she told me that she was going to volunteer at an SDA orphanage in a town that was about 4 hours away from Nairobi. And I was in a dilemma when she told me this, because serving in an orphanage, before I decided to go to Kenya, I was debating whether I wanted to be in an orphanage, work in an orphanage, or be in a school atmosphere. But I ended up going to a school. But serving in an orphanage or volunteering there was one experience I always wanted to have. And hiking up Mount Kenya probably would be a lifetime chance. So I decided to pray. And that's the beauty about being in a mission field. I don't know what it is, but it's kind of like you take everything to God in prayer. Like even small decisions like this. I was like, well, let me pray about it and see. So I prayed about it. I was like, what should I do? And then I decided, after I prayed, I looked at the school calendar. And then I noticed that if I didn't use this break to actually go and serve in the orphanage, probably I'm going to leave Kenya without getting that experience. So without hesitation, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to the orphanage. So I decided to volunteer at Ian Kasmal Orphanage. So let me show you. Okay, these are the bags that we were going to take with us to the orphanage. And the orphanage is nowhere near the school. The school is about 40 minutes away from Nairobi. And to get to the orphanage, we have to go to Nairobi, and from Nairobi to a town called Nakuru, another village, which is about 50 minutes away from Nakuru, which is about 2 hours and a half away from Nairobi. So it was a long trip. And my friend and I decided, we're like, you know what? We're going to take public transportation to get the experience. And with all these bags, and sure enough, we did get an experience. So we took the bags, and the school driver, he took us to Nairobi. And once we got to Nairobi, I think I have a picture. Yeah, this is, these are like the streets of Nairobi, the capital in Kenya. So we got there, and you see that the microbuses there, they're called matatus in Kenya. So, but we didn't take these ones. We actually bought some tickets because it's kind of safer. So we bought the tickets, and then the microbus was late. Not too long. It was just an hour late, which is not too long in Kenya. So we just sat on the street, just guarding our bags and waiting for the microbus. And the ride there to Nakuru, to that town, was peaceful. It was fine. But then when we got to Nakuru, we had all these bags with us before, all these bags, and we were in Nakuru. And then we could not find the other matatu that can take us all the way down to the village. So we were asking around, just different people, like, where can we take that microbus? You know, it should be here around. And then they were telling us, no, it's not around. You have to either walk to take that microbus, or you have to take a taxi there. So we didn't have money to take a taxi. It was, and especially that they know we're foreigners, it was going to be even more expensive for us. And we could not walk with all these bags that we have because there were so many. And guess what? God answered the prayer that we didn't even pray. All of a sudden, I find that taxi driver, the very person that was convincing us to actually ride with him so he can get some income. He was picking my bags and running. So I was like, what is this guy doing? So I started running after him, trying to get my bags. And then he was like, no. Just go to this matatu. That's the one you need. It doesn't pass through this station. This is a surprise. It's passing. Just take it. And in the Matatu, that there was only two seats for us. And it was just beautiful just to see God leading. So we made it to Ian Kastmuller Orphanage with all these bags. And let me show you where we stayed, actually. This is where we stayed. These are the beds we were at in the room. And we have these mosquito nets because there's a lot of mosquitoes there. This is the shower that actually does not have hot water, so we had to like heat up some water and just shower out of the bucket. And this is our little sink area. This is our kitchen, and the blue container there is actually a water filter because the water is not really good there, so that's what we use for water. And the stove is not really working, so we use it just as a table to put the food on. But we had a working one, so we heated up a lot of the food because they said of bacteria and stuff. So we were just being careful about that. These are some of the kids just hanging out on the grass. It was kind of not green, but they enjoyed it. And these are some of the swings. Oh, and what we did before we came to the orphanage, my friend and I decided to buy some clothes to the kids. So we actually saved up some money and we went to a second-hand store because we didn't have enough money to buy like new stuff, but we made sure the clothes are clean, so we washed it, we ironed what needed to be ironed. And we asked some of the teachers too at the school if they want to donate some clothes for the kids, and we actually got a lot, so it was good. But still, the clothes were not enough, so my friend and I decided to actually fix their own clothes that they had, which was really torn, but we tried our best and we fixed a lot of their clothes. So we got to fix some of their clothes, and we also got to share some different worship thoughts with them, and we told them some songs with motions, so they got really excited about it. And this is actually the school they have. They have a school inside the orphanage, and these are some of the kids just in the morning of the school. And I also got to teach the seventh grade. Graders, I got to teach them algebra and CRE, which is Christian Religious Education. I did a lot of stuff there that made my time beautiful. But there was some, you know, Kenya has a lot of orphanages, but this one was so different. I just cannot forget this orphanage. The orphanage has 140 orphans. Many of them are disabled, and they actually have 10 HIV positive. And it was very sad. The orphanage is kind of dark because, like, most of the rooms don't have electricity. So once the sun goes down, the place just looks so dark. And the smell there was really very unpleasant. I can even smell it right now if I close my eyes. I think it would stink to my skin. When I went back to the academy, I had to take a long shower to get the smell out of my skin and my hair. But all this is one story, but what was even darker to me is when I heard the stories of the kids that were there. The stories were just like broke my heart. I remember when I was there, I would call my mom and like call my mom because my mom is in Egypt, they live in Egypt, so I would call her and overseas. And the phone service is not, they don't have unlimited phone. So what I did is, like, all the money that I had, I saved just the amount I needed to be able to get back to the school. And then with the rest of the money, I bought minutes. And I would just talk to my mom for hours and just tell her the stories because I felt like I wanted to share these stories with someone who's outside this situation. I wanted to talk to her. So I would talk to her and just share the stories and pray for the kids. We pray for hours on the phone. Let me share some of the stories with you guys. This is Emmanuel. Emmanuel is a disabled child. He came to the orphanage with his mom. His mom pleaded with the director to work as a carer. That way she could get some income and take care of her disabled child. After 8 months of work, she ran away, leaving her child behind. The director told me that he hasn't seen by that time when I was there, he hasn't seen the mom for 18 months. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. This is Elisha, that's how they pronounce his name there. This is Elisha Ian Kusselman. Elisha was found under a tree covered in mud with his placenta still attached to his body. He was immediately taken to the hospital, and after recovering, he was taken to the orphanage. The director of the orphanage, which is Ian Kusselman, his name after him, held him in his hands when he was 2 hours old. The OCS, the Office of Commanding Situations, found Elisha's mom, and she was arrested for attempted murder. And when she was asked to defend her case, she said the dad of the baby left her, and when she realized that she could not afford his expense, she left him under the tree, hoping that someone would find him. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. This is Joseph. Joseph he has a problem with his spinal cord that affects his brain. And he's one of the happiest kids. I would go to the room and he's always just smiling and laughing. But one day I came to the room and he was just crying and he could not stop crying. I don't know what it was, but it just broke my heart. So a lady that pretended to be his mom brought him to the orphanage. And after that little boy was accepted to the orphanage, the director discovered that this very lady was his own mom. She was not a neighbor. So as it is, we do not see everything in subjection to them. This is Charity. Charity has the most interesting story ever. Stories I only hear in movies. While some women were collecting some firewood around the fence of a game park, they noticed that there was a child with some baboons. So they rushed to the child care office and they reported the story. And sure enough, the people went inside and found that there was a child. So they rushed and took the baby outside the park and took it to the hospital that's about 4 miles away from the orphanage. And the doctor reported that the child was 7 years old when she got out of that game park. It was also assumed that the child was left in the game park before she was 1 year old. Therefore, the baboons did not see her as a threat. Instead, they treated her as their own child. Charity was breastfed by baboons, which caused her to grow baboon hair all over her body. She still has some actually on her back. Well, by the time I was there, she still had some on her back. But it's slowly going away. She's still in kindergarten. And when she screams, it sounds just like a monkey. I only heard her say one word when I was there. And it was thank you. And I wasn't able to interpret what she said. So I had to ask her carer to tell me what she was saying because it came out as a scream. And it's when I gave her this little top, she was really happy. As it is, we do not see everything in subjection to them. But the good news is that the verses do not stop at this. Let's read it together. Hebrews 2:8-9. Subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing under their control. But as it is, we do not see everything in subjection to them. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because of the suffering to death, even death on the cross. So what do I see when I look at these stories? I do not see someone, a child who was abandoned by his own mom, but I see a son of a king. I do not see a disabled boy, but someone whose best friend is a great physician. I do not see a girl, a little girl who was raised up with animals, but I see someone who is an inheritant of the kingdom of God. But let's face reality. We do not get what we wish for in this life. I wish these kids grew up in a good, strong Christian family that could provide for their expense and give them a comfortable life. But they don't. You know, we all know the saying that One day is for you, the other day is against you. And even for those families, those kids who grew up in good families, it's not guaranteed that they're gonna live in this position forever. We never know what's gonna happen. But when the troubles of the world become reality to you, where is your vision? Are you gonna agree with Paul and say, though we do not see everything, but we do see Jesus? Or the troubles are gonna become your reality. Are you gonna focus on the one who never fails us in times of trouble? The Son of God, who's unchanging. The one who shows us his love, deep compassion, and sympathy. Now, just as he did many years ago to the people he lived with. So where is your vision? When your health fails you, where is your vision? Is it on the disease or the Lord your healer, the one whose strength is made perfect in weakness? When you lose a loved one, where is your vision? Is it on the separation, or are you going to trust the one who promised that this will be no more? When you realize that we cannot control all this evil nature, the earthquake, the volcanoes, the fires, where is your vision? Is it on the destruction in nature? Or is it on the God that's going to liberate all creation from its bondages? When you get laid off your work, are you going to give up on God? Or are you going to trust God and turn to Jesus, whose load is not heavy? And when you don't get into that school you worked so hard to get into, are you going to question God's goodness or trust that he knows the plans he has for you? So where is your vision? These are the words of John. He says in Revelation 21, we all know this passage, but let's read it again. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We don't see a perfect world. In fact, we're not promised to live in a perfect world. And we don't see all the promises fulfilled now, but we do see Jesus. And we live believing that the story is true. We live in this hope that the story is true. So when you find yourself in this situation where the darkness of the world is all you can see, just remind yourself of these verses and ask yourself the question, where is your vision?